Good morning, August 2nd at, sure it is, it's 9 something, 16, Sunday morning, 9:16, 9, yeah, it's, it's way too hot for me. According to the official temperature, is only 71 degrees. My house actually says 74. It feels a lot warmer walking in the sun. I'm late this morning because, in fact, I almost didn't walk this morning because of the heat. But I figured, well, that's weak. It's not that hot. Yes, it is. But it's not that hot. I mean, it's not... Like yesterday, we were out in the afternoon, and it was, had to have been 97, 98. It's like stepping into an oven. And you walk out of an air-conditioned place, and you walk out into it, and it's like, oh, yeah. So it's not that bad, but it's, for a two-mile hike, it's plenty warm. I got delayed because, A, I was slow. B, I got notice from my hoster, Bluehost, bluehost.com, ding, that several of my blog installations were woefully out of date, and that over the next few days they're going to be updating them. So I thought, well, I'll just jump in and do some updates. And I did, and I worked on it for about an hour, and then I realized, holy crap, it's after 9, I better get moving. Or nearly 9, I guess. Because I sure as hell didn't walk that first mile in 16 minutes, so it was almost 9, I figured I better move. So here I am, moving, walking and talking, making merry like Christmas. Writing. Oh my god, yesterday was a writing day. Holy crap. I loved it. I think I might have done like 3-4K yesterday. I don't even know, tell you the truth. I don't know where I started. All I know is I ended over 11,000 words, which is... Really? It had to have been around 8, I think. So 3,000 words maybe. I think I talked about yesterday being around 8,000 words, so yesterday morning. So yeah, by the end of the day, I was at 11. And I like it. I like it a lot. Let's see how it works out. Let's see, what else? Ithaca Rising. Ithaca with a K. I-T-H-A-K-A. Rising. L.J. Cohen. It's the sequel to Derelict. If you weren't aware that it's out now, it's out now. Her rank is relatively anemic, but her story is selling very well, so I told her I'd pimp it out to you guys and let you know that it was there. If you didn't like Derelict, you won't like Ithaca Rising, but if you liked Derelict, it's damn good. I enjoyed it a great deal. Let's see, what else? I talked about the guy who, I think, didn't I? I talk about the guy I thought I should lower my price point to $2.99, $1.99 to $2.99, because my books just weren't that good. Okay, fine. I thanked him. His big problem, if I didn't mention it before, his big problem is that he got a quarter share in the Stars and Empire bundle number 2 for something less than a dime, because it was, they're 10 books for 99 cents, if I remember correctly. And then he paid $4.95 for half share, and it was so much shorter book that he was very disappointed. So I thanked him for his kind words, because the reality remains that half share is 10% longer than quarter share. Quarter share barely comes in at 80,000, where half share comes in at much closer to 90,000, I think 87,500 or something. So it's about 10% longer. But to him it felt shorter, so the story must have been more engaging for him to feel that way. So that's high praise. And I pointed to the free ones you could get on the audio, and then suggested that perhaps BookBub or Book Gorilla might be a good place for him to go. He allowed, as he wasn't going to buy any more of my books. And I said, well, that's okay, fine. I don't care. My books aren't for everybody. I don't expect them to be. I don't expect people to buy them, and I don't really buy into the, well, your books are so expensive, so I'm not going to buy them, blackmail. Oh dear, you're not going to buy my books. Oh, it's all right, there are 50 other people that will buy my books today, so, and tomorrow, and the next day. So, I appreciate his perspective. The reality is that $4.95 is my price point. I might change it. When I get the new series out, I might drop the old series down to like $3.95 instead of $4.95. I don't know. Let's see. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, those guys were slathered with sunscreen, apparently. Two bicyclists went by. And, I mean, they were well out in the bicycle lane, and I'm on the sidewalk, but the unmistakable scent of cocoa butter wafted along in their wake. I don't know, blame them. If I'm out bicycling today, for any length of time, I probably put on some sunscreen too, because it's gonna be a killer. They're saying we're not gonna have another day under 90 before the end of the week. Yeah. So I have to get out early this week. In the household, the kitchen is completely torn up. No, not completely, but everything is off the counters because my wife decided that yesterday would be a good day to take out all the old caulk from the backsplash so that she could replace it with fresh, shiny new caulk. Because we have company coming this week, and God knows, having them spy old caulking would be tragic. It would be the death knell to our reputation as quality people. I'm being just a little bit snarky this morning. It's like, okay, fine. I can't complain. She's done it all. I had to find a couple tools for her. I had to make a run to Lowe's yesterday, which is why I was out in the sun, to get her a fresh tube of caulking, because the caulk we had was all separated and nasty. So yeah, rock on. She didn't get it rebuilt yesterday. She was going to wait for this morning for it to be a little bit cooler, and I don't blame her because it was 90-something, and she wanted to be able to open the windows to let the stench of the fresh caulking be disseminated to the great outdoors. So, I don't know, we'll see. Caulking is one of those skills that I don't have. I've tried it, I've laid down hundreds of feet of caulking, and it always winds up stuck to my fingers, stuck to my clothes, stuck to everything except where I really want it stuck, which is yeah, pretty much story of my life. Stuck everywhere, but I want to be. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's burning. Holy crow. This is, I'm in the shade and I'm still sweating up a storm here. I just made the turn east, so I've got 0.4 miles in the blazing sun on the concrete. Yay! So, marketing. It's on my mind again because There are so many people who seem to think things about social media that just don't seem to match up for me. And I have to be a little bit careful because I realize that my data is anecdotal. It's a test case of one, me. And so not necessarily valid. It's also a confirmation bias. It's like, well, it worked for me, so it should work for you. No, it's also not true. There are some realities, there are some things, Marco Post, about social media that seem to resonate, that seem to, and I have to be a little bit careful with this because they only seem to conform to the same ideas that I was dealing with in distance education. Primarily the issue of influence. As a teacher, particularly any teacher teaching at a distance where the only contact students have with you is on a web page or an email or something, what you're trying to do is influence them to A, take the course seriously, B, actually learn something, which means you have to influence them to take actions that they might not necessarily want to take, which goes back to Daniel Pink's To Sell as Human, which I keep going back to every once in a while. I haven't finished it yet. I'll read a chapter and then put it away and go read some romance novel or space opera or something, but still a good book. I think it was Anita that put me onto it. Thank you, Anita. If it was you, thank you. If it wasn't, thank whoever it was. So as a teacher, I'm trying to influence people to do things that they don't necessarily want to do, to take actions that I want to take that they aren't necessarily on board with. So I need you to read a book. How do I get you to read a book? Well, I talk about the book a lot. I explain what it is that you should be finding in the book, and I give you an opportunity to tell me what it is that you found. What did you think that was interesting? But I really don't, you know, as a teacher, I do have a position of power in that hierarchy. I can't say, well, if you don't do this, then you're not going to get a good grade. So there's a bit of a lever that is very, it's very much leaned on, but I think it's also very dangerous to lean on it too hard, because I think it's a lever made of straw. Because the reality is, what you have to do when you're teaching online is to engage the students in such a way that they don't quit. Because the threat of a bad grade is immediately removed as soon as I quit the class. So they don't actually have to take the class. They don't, particularly grad school. They don't have to take that class with you right then, right now. They can put it off for a year. They can put it off till next semester. They can, if it's an, depending on their program, they may not have to take it at all. So there's this engagement issue. There's this influence issue. And so how do you engage people who don't see you? How do you influence people who don't know you, who only interact with you in a very narrow sphere? Which is basically what, as an author, I do, is interact with people in a very narrow sphere. Now, what most authors do, and which drives me... it just drives me crazy. And the reason it drives me crazy is that then we all get painted with the same brush. And it's like, oh, these goddamn self-published authors, all they ever do is get on Twitter and talk about their work. No. Those aren't self-published authors. Those are stupid authors. There's a qualitative difference there. It's small, it's subtle, but it's there. And I run across it quite a lot. So, I wrote an essay called Yes is Conditional, No is Forever. And it talks about social media. And if you're aggravating enough, nobody will ever hear another message you ever push forward. So you have to be careful not to piss people off. Which apparently is not something a lot of people really understand too well, because they keep pissing people off. Apparently it's not enough to actually reduce their dependence on pissing people off, but there it is. So one of the things that I think happens is that authors see this, do this, they do this promotion thing. There's a patio book author, L.R.W. Lee, who once a day, pretty much every single day, posts to Twitter a link to her YA book on patio books. And it shows up in my patio book stream because I have a column open for patio books commentary. And it shows up there for patio books, but it's like, really? She's been doing this for weeks. She's been doing it, I don't know, maybe for months. I think even before the book was released, I don't know. It seems like it's been going on forever. I can't log onto TweetDeck without seeing a post from, a tweet from LRW Lee. Same tweet, every day, once a day. Oh, that's probably not too much. I can probably get away with that. I've blocked her twice and then unblocked her because I thought, well, she's a potty books author. But it's aggravating. It's aggravating as hell. So then I hear these people, there's one guy, I don't remember what his name is now, but he's whining, complaining, I mean, whining is probably too strong a term, too judgmental a term, he was complaining that he can only write for 2 months a year because he has to promote for 10 months, otherwise he can't get any sales. And you know, and I look at his books, and he's got a lot of genre mashups, he's got like 10, 11, 12 titles out, only two of them are in any given identifiable genre. The science fiction covers are horrible. He has one, well, one of his science fiction covers is horrible. The other one is beautiful, it's spectacular. It's very retro, it's great, great cover. One out of 12 is a great cover. A couple of them are really bad. A couple of them are, okay. Some of them are retro, but not very well done. Good morning, good morning. So, yeah, I can understand. Without getting enough of a concentration in any given genre, having a lot of books scattered across the board is just another reason for people not to buy your books. So, yes, they like to science fiction, but oh no, I don't read horror, I don't read fantasy, I don't read mashups, I don't read. Yeah. I talked about genre the other day, and mashups are not a reason to get two audiences in line, it's a reason to alienate both of them. So it's like, well, that's what I wanted to write. Well, okay, then write it, and just be aware that what you're writing is going to have an extremely limited appeal. I mean, it's bad enough that our books have a limited appeal anyway, but then to pick a genre mashup that you know is going to have a limited appeal. A historical fiction about the Japanese internment. This is I'm sure it's a fascinating book, but the market for that is, real small. And he wonders why he can't sell any. It's like, dude, there's probably 500 people in the country who care about that book. You probably sold a book to all of them. It's not exactly what you call attractive. He was threatening to read the bestseller in a category on Amazon that was selling really, really well, and then go figure out how it works and then write one of those. Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Walk on with your bad self. That's just, hey, one book isn't going to do it, because the problem is that the bestseller today is not going to necessarily be the bestseller tomorrow. It's not going to be the number one book tomorrow as it is today. It's not going to be the same book next week. It's not going to be the same book the week after that. And if it takes you 10 months to write a book, trying to capture that lightning in a bottle that you're not going to lay down until winter isn't going to actually work. But what do I know? Oh, well. Oh, look, here I am. I'm back. I'm hot, I'm sticky, I'm sweating a storm here. I need a shower before I go too far. I need breakfast, but I don't know how I'm going to get breakfast because the kitchen is torn up. Anyway, I am at the back gate. Somewhere here is my voice recorder. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.